Waiting for confirmation.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Oil prices are steady around $109 a barrel this morning as we wait for a weekly report on U.S. crude inventory. Investors are looking for more evidence slowing economic growth has cut demand. Investors still don't quite know what to make of the continuing decline in commodities prices. On one hand, it's relieving inflation pressures, but on the other hand, it could be a red flag that tougher times are ahead. That mix is what helped Wall Street end on a mixed note yesterday. The Dow picked up 16 points yesterday to 11,532, about a tenth of a percent. The Nasdaq lost almost 16 to 2333. The S&P 500 was down 2.5 points to 1274. Markets in Asia were down across the board today. European shares are mostly lower. Airplane maker Boeing just got a bit of breathing room in its battle with the powerful Machinists Union. The union's 27,000 members voted decisively yesterday to reject a new contract and go on strike, and then promptly agreed to wait 48 hours before hitting the picket lines. From Portland, Mitchell Hartman has the latest.
The request to go back to the bargaining table came late Wednesday night from a federal mediator and from Washington Governor Christy Gregoire. The Seattle area would take a big hit from a strike by Boeing's well-paid assembly workers, who last walked off the job in 2005 over wages, benefits, and job security. And the contentious issues are pretty much the same this time around, says union spokesperson Connie Kelleher, only worse because the company has been making money hand over fist.
In a time when this company is posting record profits, they want concessions from their workers. We should not be fighting to hold on to what we've already won in the past.
Boeing calls its final offer, 11% in wage hikes over 3 years, outstanding, but says it will listen to union concerns. A long strike would cost the company $3 billion a month in lost revenue, and it would further delay the new 787 Dreamliner and a revamped 747 jumbo jet, which could in turn cast a shadow on one of the rare bright spots in the U.S. economy, aircraft manufacturing. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. And by Cleveland Clinic, working to redefine healthcare and the patient experience with the new Miller Family Pavilion and Glickman Tower. More at meetthebuildings.com.
GMAC Financial Services is closing all of its 200 retail offices and laying off about 5,000 employees. The lender says it's part of a plan to reduce its mortgage lending and servicing because of the housing market downturn. Tomorrow, the Labor Department will report unemployment numbers for August. Our economic correspondent Chris Verrill is with us now. Chris, what's the expectation for Friday's report?
Well, the sense is we're going to get more bad news. The unemployment rate will stay at 5.7%, four-year high. No big change there. But in terms of payrolls, the consensus expectation, according to a Bloomberg News survey, is that employers cut about 75,000 jobs. This will confirm the weakness in the economy.
And where are the job losses coming from at this point?
Well, a lot of the job losses have been in the blue-collar sector of the economy. Healthcare and education and government have been relatively immune. I'm talking relatively. But now you're also getting a sense of like Marvel Technology Group. They're a maker of chips for the BlackBerry. You know, they're saying, it doesn't look too good going ahead. So we might start seeing the job losses spread into more of the high-tech sector, which has held up relatively well throughout this downturn.
Now, what will this number mean for what Ben Bernanke and the rest of the Federal Reserve is thinking right now?
Well, I think it will increase the pressure on the Fed to sort of stay the course. You know, the Fed's been going through this very vicious discussion right now about inflation versus the economy. And a weak employment number, boy, that's going to make Bernanke feel a little bit stronger in his position, which is the economy's weak. I'm not going to worry so much about inflation.
But I have heard that 5.7% rate that we're talking about right now, as far as unemployment goes, is still relatively low.
Well, it is relatively low, considering everything that's happened in this economy, you know, with the housing market and manufacturing. But I'd like to sort of twist this a little bit. Why do we think that a 5.7% unemployment rate is relatively low? That's a lot of people out of work. And I think it really is a longer-term story. It's not just a story about whether this is a recession or a downturn or, you know, the highest unemployment rate in 4 years. In the 1970s, we began to accept a 4%, a 5%, a 6% rate of unemployment. I mean, that was just in order to keep inflation tame. That was kind of one of the things that happened. And I think it's absolutely outrageous that we still worry more about inflation than the labor market. And 5.7% or 5% unemployment rate is unacceptable.
Economic correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
The economy is tough, but you wouldn't know it by the number of luxury magazines around. This week, the Wall Street Journal joins that crowded field. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
The publication's title is Minimalist, WSJ. Its approach to advertising is anything but. The 104 pages are packed with ads from the likes of Hermes and Maserati.
These kind of magazines are like a license to print money.
Robert Boynton runs the magazine program at NYU School of Journalism. He says the Quarterly should pull in lots of ad revenue with its media pedigree and coveted subscribers. Samir Hosni, who tracks the magazine industry for MrMagazine.com, says luxury titles have gone from 0.5% to 4% of all U.S. magazines in the past several years. But these publications rarely have runs over 70,000.
That's the beauty of the Wall Street Journal, because it's sort of like mixing luxury and mass and putting it in one magazine.
But it won't be too mass. Of the journal's 2 million subscribers, the magazine is only going to households with an average income of $250,000. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening and enjoy the day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.